Republic of Texas Radio, June 19th, 2022, hour two. Lots of twos in there. Well, it could be two. Yeah, who cares? Hey, we were just talking about, well, some of the realities that well, I don't exist in, and I don't know why I want to be rich and famous and part of the powerful elites. You know, part of this is a conversation about Joe Biden rides a bicycle. It's like, okay, the guy's like a billion years old, and that's called elderly abuse. You know, and he falls on his bicycle. Oh, crap. You know, I mean, what the hell? But Alan made the point that, well, their life is not our life. They just pretend to be plebs like us, or goyim, as a lot of you like to refer to us as. But anyways, they try to mimic us or show us what, here, do this little minion, you know, and they ride your little bicycle. And this little bicycle that he rode for, what, 10, 15 feet? I don't know how far. I didn't really dig into the article. I don't have the energy to find out how far did Biden ride, and why, when was the last time Biden did this, and where did he get his Biden shoes, and why is Nike promoting it, and what kind of a bicycle was it, and really, was it a Trek Super Dinky Dicky, right? It's so fancy, and who's going to get it next, right? Is it going to be just crushed, right, because it hurt a bike? I don't know. But I think the important part is there's another club and you're not in it. And the original part of the rant had to do with kind of a conversation interaction that I had with a lady talking about gas prices. And I told her that, well, they pretty much want to kill you. And she knew that, right? Her husband and I had talked previously, and he understands the food system is poison. Right, and that the environment around it, the extent of awakeness, I'm not too sure in him. Her, I know she's heard it, right? So it wasn't too hard, but didn't leave her feeling too happy that they want to depopulize the whole planet. Oh, sure, folks, you know, United Nations Agenda 21 would probably be a beautiful place to a certain extent. You know, stuff all the humans in cities, you know, make them live above their work, right? So you live above and you do this and you don't go travel farther than 100 yards, maybe. Maybe you get to go 1 mile around or something. Who knows what kind of, like, stupid rules they can come up with in the future if they win. But are they going to win, Alan? I don't know. Some say that. Who knows? Maybe they'll just kill us all.
Moment, Steve. I'm dealing with innocence of life. Last break, the old model came in, was yelling at me, and it's drier than hell, and so I'm having to supplement her quite a bit, actually, because she's got a phone. Mm. And just now, I'm just now making baby bottles for the innocent one. The new model with the racing stripes.
You're talking about cheap pet. Yeah.
She does make me laugh. She's just funnier than hell.
Well, animals are more normal. You know, they're not thinking about we're going to die. Poor sheep. You know, watching the life of an animal that has been bred for what use? I guess the word is, I don't know. Let's see. What do we got here? Moving on. What is the future for crypto technology? Crypto is crashing. It's damn funny. I've actually gotten a couple calls from friends and family members going, have you seen what happened to crypto? Are you scared? Did you get out? Like, what are you talking about, right? You know, well, it's down. Like, well, it's always goes down or up. It really doesn't matter. You know, it's going to do something.
Of course, it's a stable currency. It goes up and down, right?
Nobody ever called it stable. You know, when Bitcoin first came out, like the one Bitcoin was valued at 3 cents or something like that. And so now you look at it and go, it's down. Cool. It was like 3 cents, guys, right? And, you know, come on, right? It's zero is great. Part of that, and I don't want to make this a crypto show, but I did want to laugh a little bit about the crypto nonsense that's happening, because it's the second time in my life that I've seen a similar thing happen. You know, the earlier part of the 2000s, we had what was called the dot-com era. And the dot-com era was fascinating, right? And I was just a millennial age type guy, right? Pumping I was 28, somewhere around there. 28, yeah. And so I'm sitting there computerizing, and I could fix computers, and I could make computers, and I could make people work. United Network, and it was great, right? And I'm building something, and they're teaching me corporate, you know, everything. And everybody was making something. And some things shouldn't be made. That's what we learned a lot of times, you know, in the crypto time, the dot-com bust. And everybody around me was a millionaire. And I'm going like, what, you're a millionaire? Yeah, got a house, got a this, got a that. And going, wow, that's crazy. You know, I want some of my millionaire, you know, but we were also misled, you know, misled by believing that debt was an asset. And that's one thing I didn't like, because I never could get around my head around the idea of having debt is better than having cash or assets, you know. I'm like, man, that doesn't quite sound right. So you want me to borrow $750,000? Yes. And I'm like, no, I think I'll hold on to my, you know, $100,000 and not spend that to buy a house. That seems like that's a high price for a house. But anyway, that was back then. But a lot of these people in the dot-com era, they bought that Porsche on credit. They bought that Ferrari, that Lamborghini, right? They bought that house on credit. They used their stocks as an asset. And then the dot-com death came, and they all circled together and went poof, and their money was
Hey, Steve,
no
you
more.
Know, we had a close occurrence with that here in Fredericksburg. Remember sitting down across the table, stuffed envelopes for a friend of ours that was running for a county commissioner? And sitting down across the table, lo and behold, from Ken Lay's personal secretary. And she told us what happened with the Ken Lay thing. You know, all their money was invested back into Enron. And when Enron just disappeared, they lost everything, didn't they?
I don't know what to take of that chick. She had a different view of reality than I did, for sure. You know, because I just lived through the Enron times and the power shutdowns and everything, and she thought he was a great guy. But, you know, I don't remember. It was that again, we're still in that kind of environment, the Ken Lay deregulated power. We're getting ready to go into the Ken Lay again, carbon trading scheme. You're fighting with her.
I'm sorry, my little dear. She actually likes my dog. She was just here chewing on Auntie's ears.
Well, it's a kid, right? You know, they're exploring.
Sorry, folks. That's just my life. That's what gives me comfort. Hopefully, some of y'all like hearing about my life with nature as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean it's good. It's very. Very important. Deer out here are I don't know, it's part of life. Death is part of life out here. Does that make any sense?
Hell, you own property. You can make more money off a deer hunting lease than you can on running cattle or anything else on your property.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've got
it's a huge part of the economy, at least in this part of Texas. I know for a fact it is.
It's part of our ecosystem as far as being a resort town. You know, the people come out to hunt, and then, well, Walmart and HEB put up a whole big old end caps full of ketchup and mustard. It's like, you come hunting, you need to buy ketchup and mustard. And I'm like, man, really? Do they sell all that ketchup and mustard?
The grocery stores sell deer corn. About every business, well, no, not, no, I won't say that. Not every business in town sells deer corn, but most of them probably would if they could get it. Because, I mean, the grocery stores still have deer corn. You can buy deer corn at the grocery store during deer season. Yeah, it's quite a big part of the economy here.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it looks here in like another month. You know, I'm kind of not very optimistic. Of course, I'm not optimistic. I'm a big old pessimist. Oh, I'm not optimistic at seeing the future in another month, right? You know, I do think things are going a little bit south. They continue to go a little bit more south, and there's no end in sight, right? There's no end in sight in the fuel costs. And the fuel costs are going to really do a super uptick on our food costs. Then you won't be able to buy food and stuff. So, hey, you know, what do we say over here at RBN? Bring it out. You know, it's going to happen. You know, it might as well happen now. Let's just see how your preps are in order. And I hate to check that, but that's really where it comes down to. You know, do you have flour? Do you have water? Do you have salt? Do you have a little baby gear that you're playing with? You know, yeah.
She's trying to get herself in trouble. She's kind of looking around, trying to chew on everything, and you're going to get your little ass in trouble. You don't watch it.
Oh, man. Well, that's good. Hey, let's just go to the phone lines, see what's going on in the rest of the world. Let's go out to Nevada. Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. That's fun.
And you?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about cryptocurrencies, because that seems to be kind of a hot topic. There is one... I don't listen to anyone about cryptocurrencies except for one guy that I found online, because his predictions have been incredibly accurate. And he's actually a trader. He trades Bitcoin, but he also collects Bitcoin at the same time. And his claim is that it's going to go down even further by a lot before it comes back up. And his claim is that it's going to go down to about $10,000 before it starts coming back up again. And the thing is, I've traded a little bit of Bitcoin too myself, so I know how much money there is to be made simply trading it. And one of the reasons why it's been so volatile in the past year or so is because, I don't know if people actually realize this, but Bitcoin was recently listed as a futures, like gold. Gold is a futures contract. So the leverage is all, I think the leverage is exactly the same. It's 100-1. I trade gold futures too. So the amount of money that someone can make on any given day is a lot if they know how to trade it. But I've noticed that the volatility recently got very high, and I knew this was going to happen once it got listed on the futures market. But what I noticed with Bitcoin is that the sentiment on Bitcoin is really, it's really directed by one thing alone, how people feel about the actual future of Bitcoin, and that's the price. So if the price goes down, people just, they lose faith in the actual idea of Bitcoin. Like they start calling it a scam.
Yeah.
But when the price starts moving back up, people regain their faith, and then they start talking about it as a they start talking about it again as a alternative to centralized currencies. So everything that people talk about with everything that people talk about with cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin is really based on price psychology, and it's the same thing with every other asset. But the thing is, the problem is there's so much money moving around in these futures markets with traders that the rich guys, they're making money, they're collecting Bitcoin at the same time. But they're making money on both sides. They're making money when the price goes up and down, because they're trading it on a daily basis. So they're not just collecting Bitcoin; they're making money at the same time, regardless of what the price is doing. And that's what's hard for people to see, because most people they use a method just called a very simple method called buying the dip. But when the price when the price keeps getting lower and lower, they start thinking, how much can I stand just buying the dip when the dip dips even more? And then that dip dips even more.
Yeah.
They start thinking, is this method actually working, is buying the dip method? Because eventually people start thinking, well, maybe it is going to go to zero, which it's not going to do, because there is a bare minimum price for the cost of production.
Well, it's already out there, right? You know, the blockchain itself was created, right? Each one of the bitcoins has like a finite number of satoshis or whatever the hell. But yeah, it's already there, and there's enough people that just, well, I don't care, right? I've got some. I've got the Bitcoin. I've got it. I'm not selling it, whatever. But I've made some money on it, and I just let it sit there now. Right, and it's going to go underwater. It might be 5 cents in a couple months, and it's going to go up again. Well, it might not. Right, we could have a collapse of society. The FRN goes away. Whoa, that's a really scary thing to have the dollar disappear. Right,
right.
Euro, it's cracking up. I mean, but see, on the other side, you got everybody going, oh, it's a scam, it's a scam. And then the World Bank sitting there going, yeah, we're doing our own blockchain, right? The Fed, doing our own Fed note, right? And it's going to be digital, and we're going to track it. So, no, it's not a scam. It's damn funny, but there are some scams out there like Dogecoin, you know, and that was just intrinsically, you know, it's like, okay, you guys like it. I get it, right? So its value is, well, is it a scam?
Can I ask this question, guys? Say I'm a car dealership, and I've got a car sitting on out of my lot for $64,000. Guy comes in, says, I'll give you one Bitcoin for that. And you say, well, it's worth $64,000 today. Sure. Here's your car. Thank you for your Bitcoin. And I'm in business. I take his Bitcoin, and the next day the Bitcoin drops to $30,000. I've lost $34,000 in a deal in a flash of an eye. If I'm a business, am I actually going to take that chance? That's what
I'm
saying.
Where's
the value
that
in this? Is it actually being used that much in actual trade, or is this just people going on a perceived value of something? Is it actually used that much? Our business is actually taking that much of it, that much of a chance.
Hang on, Alan. Hang on. Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, Alan just had a few questions about, cryptocurrency. Dave's on the line, and we were talking a little bit about Bitcoin and other coins and stuff like that. Dave, do you want to take a stab at what Alan just threw out there, or shall I?
I know people aren't accepting Bitcoin on Moss right now. Like, you're not going to see it being accepted at McDonald's right now, or you're not going to see it being accepted at Starbucks, but individuals are accepting it, like, online for whatever business that they're doing. And what people do is they establish a price for whatever product that they want to sell. Let's say it is a car for $3,000. And then if the price moves up and down, and the price of Bitcoin moves up and down as it has been, all they do is adjust the price of Bitcoin, saying, well, the equivalent of today's Bitcoin price, I'm going to have to increase it just to make it equal to the amount of the car, because the price has dropped so much. So I'm going to have to double the amount of Bitcoin. So that's today's Bitcoin price. And that's just simply a risk that the seller takes on by accepting Bitcoin. But...
Or doesn't take on.
The future. I'm sorry?
Doesn't sound like a very sound business model to me. I don't know.
But that's only for someone who actually believes in Bitcoin, that they actually believe that it's going to skyrocket in the future. And that's why I'm saying people like McDonald's and Starbucks, they're not accepting it as of now. However, in the future, if there is an established price, like, for instance, the dollar the dollar isn't exactly the same price every day. It trades every day, too, but it's way more stable, of course, than Bitcoin. So people are willing to accept the dollar, even though the exchange value changes on a daily basis, because I trade dollars, too. The dollar is very – actually, the value of the dollar trading on the currency markets is very high compared to other currencies, even though we're in hyperinflation. And it's simply because it's trading on the futures market. But people are more willing to accept currencies because it's relative to something like gold or Bitcoin even. People are willing to accept the dollar. And there's kind of an established price. But like I said, even that's changing because of hyperinflation. My coffee's going up. So, like, they're doing the exact same thing. They're accepting dollars. They're just raising the price of everything because the actual real value of the dollar is dropping. Mm-hmm. So they're doing the same thing that people are doing with Bitcoin, but it's just on a much...
I do understand investments, and I understand the markets and everything. I mean, mm-hmm. I actually went to the Get Smart place way back before there was Enron and computers and everything, back when the stock market was like in the 4,000s. And, you know, and a 10-point, you know, jump or drop, you know, was a major thing. Nowadays, it's, 600 right. points, oh, well, that's nothing. You know, the market's what? The Dow's what, like 35,000 now or something? I mean, the whole frickin' world goes past anything. If you have any understandings of investments and the markets, this whole thing is just totally freaking insane.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's totally insane. Well, yeah, it makes no sense at all. I totally agree.
Well, when we deal with you're dealing with it as investments, and Alan, you see it as an investment tool too, but you also see it for the transactions, right, for buying and selling and so forth. The decentralized, non-government controlled currency is what the cryptos kind of came out to be. Well, I don't know. It was the blockchain was an interesting accounting thing, right? So the whole thought of can we use this thing called a blockchain, and it'll constantly grow. It's a ledger to a certain degree. But my point is kind of like Bitcoin is the big king daddy, right? It is more like gold. It's going to have value up until they mine the very last Bitcoin, or we all die, right? And I know you're a great skeptic of crypto, Alan, and I really appreciate that.
Did the .com teach people nothing? When you invest in nothing, and if nothing goes to nothing, then you don't have factories, you don't have anything that you can sell off, that shareholders can get some kind of recompense back. There's nothing. When it goes to nothing, there's nothing, and it's nothing to start with. I mean,
right.
Well, I could maybe see.
That's the Federal Reserve note, right? That's the euro. There's nothing, right? There's nothing. There's nothing to a Federal Reserve note, right? It might have been a dollar at one point, backed by gold.
I understand that, but
now it's
literally
nothing.
Hell, if you ain't got electricity, you ain't doing no trading.
Hey, Dave, I really
at least
do appreciate
with dollars
the call.
Or something physical
you
that
know.
You have some representation of, or with gold, you know, there's something that you have some representation of, some physical thing that if there is no power, no internet, it's like at least you could, you know, it's like you got vegetables, you got beef, you know, you trade, you barter, at least there's something physical. With this, it is absolutely literally nothing but digits floating around in the frickin' cyber world. I'm sorry. The whole thing is just insanity to me.
I mean, hear you.
Federal
Alan.
Reserve notes are bad enough.
Right. Dave, anything else?
No, it's just a matter of what you believe in. That's what I believe, and that's why I think all of it is speculative. I think gold is speculative right now. It's very speculative.
Yeah.
Gold should have been right now. It should be like $10,000-$20,000 per ounce. Why isn't it?
Yeah, that's because it's all manipulated, every bit of it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a matter of belief system. So if you
the whole system is speculative now.
The whole system is speculative, including gold. It's totally speculative. I don't think people even know how many ounces of gold are in existence right now. I don't think people actually have an actual number. it's totally speculative.
Yeah, I know. There's a gold's fascinating.
That's something that at least has been pretty much used throughout history. It does have as long a track record as we can track back. You know, that's been a source, some stability. But I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Bitcoin, always fun. Alan hates it.
Great.
Be right back for Republic of Texas Radio. Can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. Wouldn't miss it for the sun.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Moving on, we'll get out of the crypto nonsense for a minute, and, well, we'll see what we end up. Let's grab Mark. Mark in Philadelphia. Welcome. Welcome back.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Hey, Mark.
I'm good. What's going on, man?
Well, happy Father's Day, Stephen. I didn't catch the first half hour of your show, but I am curious about, as Alan tells me you have a little one. I didn't know that. I guess I didn't catch that before, but Alan told me you had a little one, so a little son.
Yeah, so, he's great.
I take it he's a couple years old, a year old?
Oh, no, he's a monster. He's 9. Woo-hoo.
Huh?
He's a big one. He's 9 years old. He's a big one.
Oh, okay.
Who are you talking about? Oh, Steve. You talking about Steve?
Yeah.
You have a big one, and it's 10, right, Alan? And just kidding.
10 or 11. And, yeah, actually, right before the last break, 11. The little one, she was outside. She came crashing back through the door for some reason and then hit the polished concrete and couldn't stop. It was like watching a hockey player go into the wall. She crashed into the recliner over here.
Strange world she lives in. Well, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to address that, but because I thought your little one was very young, but concerning this whole deal that the FDA says it's okay to vaccinate the children. It's not a mandate, right? It's just a offering for
it's a trick
to the families.
Okay. It's a trick try to get them to the take trick, something yeah. that might kill their kid.
Yeah.
It's like, so, oh, God.
Fear is an effective weapon. Yes.
I do want to touch back on the deal with the crypto, because my take on the whole thing, okay, it's very extremely speculative. There's a difference between speculation and investment. Investment is in something that you can count on being there at the end of the day. With Bitcoin, it's total speculation. I mean, the damn value can change radically in a nanosecond. I mean, so you know, you start out the day thinking you got some value, and before the end of the hour, you may have lost a tremendous amount of that value. So now, if you started out when it started with $100, and now it's gone to $1 million, okay, then you're playing in la la land with la la money, because the most you're going to lose is that first initial $100. No big deal, right? You can have fun with it, but for people to take their real money that they've worked hard for, well, not real money, it's not even real money, it's pretend, you know, it's currency, and then put it in there and thinking that they're going to, you know, it's going to spike in their direction, that's a far-out speculation, and it's
Mark, it's kind of the same thing with stocks. I mean, you know, when the stock market has a big dip in a day, you know, they not only close the market down, you know, but they close the trading platform. So even if you're sitting back on a computer, you don't have to have a guy down on the floor saying, you know, sell or buy, you know. Right. They just shut down the trading platforms and you're blocked out. So, you know, you can't dump your stock and try to retain some of your assets because it's all controlled.
All controlled. So, what I'm going to get at here is that's part of the mesmerization to detach us from real, what has real value, and put us into la la land. And how many people are there? And all of our currencies around the world are based upon la la land, except for now. Here we go. That bad guy over there, you know, that bad guy that Putin says we should go to war with, the ruble now is backed by gold, and its value is increasing tremendously compared to the other currencies because it's got real gold behind it, not bull crap. So, you know, people want to knock.
You know, Mark, if I'm going to gamble, I prefer to at least go down and, like, play craps or roulette or something like that, you know. You might get lucky and you might win, but you know what happens? What happens when you win that big, you know, pot on the craps table or something? Gee, yeah. It's like you want to go back and see if you can do it again, don't you? And the house always ends up winning.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, on that note, see, casinos, they will let people win.
Yeah.
But they know that inherent in every person, most people have that thing called greed, and they in their mind. So the casino will let a person win a couple of times, maybe not a huge amount, but yeah. enough to get them hooked, and then they end up losing that back. And the casino knows this. The casino knows that, especially now that everything's electronified. They know the patterns of everybody that comes in, and most of them require you to have a card. You don't have to, but that's how they track it. I mean, they can even wire it in which people are going to win. I mean, it's just so damn manipulative. So they get people hooked, and then the people end up pulling out more money out of it. They've lost that money back that they won because they think, oh, I can win big. I can win big, right? And then they put their other money in, and then they end up losing it. And then but here's the other part. They know unconsciously, subconsciously, they know that when they go in the casino, their chances are they're going to lose. So it's like, and that's kind of, you got to look at that. That's really kind of sick. But we've all been mesmerized over
prediction,
time.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have watched, and they know the human beast, and they know how to manipulate. Like I said, these bastards are good at what they do.
Yeah. And I want to bring up something that I pondered, and I don't know if you guys looked at this. See, sometimes it's good to look up the definition of something, initially you'll read what it says, and you'll say, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense, that'll make sense. But then you ponder it. You ponder on something. What I'm going to bring up here is gaslighting. Gaslighting which I encourage everybody here to look up Gaslight, Google it, and watch what comes up, and read it. Go into depth in it, and then ponder it, and see, because they're using gaslighting. The medical industry is
everywhere,
using gaslighting.
My friend.
This whole COVID bull crap, it's all gaslighting. It's manipulative and it's abusive. Oh, it's manipulative abuse, and it's very subtle, very stealthful. But it's that's what they're doing, and they think they're so slick because it is so subtle, okay? And they've been at this for over 100 years incrementally, but now they're bringing it on in our faces, because they think that they've got us all hypnotized, all of us, absolutely every one of us. That's how much hubris they have. They think they're so damn smart and that we're so damn stupid that every single one of us is just going to go for it. You know, and that we're all just a bunch of yes people. See, if we can't say no,
unfortunately,
our yes don't
Mark,
mean a damn
unfortunately,
thing.
Mark,
so,
for a major portion of the population, they are what you're describing. They also understand that there are a few of us out here that actually have intelligence and can put facts together for ourselves. One of the biggest gaslights, the frickin' 9/11 report when it came out. I mean, structural engineers were going, well, okay, I'm a structural engineer. I know building, I know stresses, I know physics. But if that's the way it happened, and a vast majority of them just because they didn't want to go against the flow. They just wanted to take what was given them. I mean, that was one of the biggest gaslightings ever. There's no way in hell those towers came down the way that 9/11 report said they did. I watched it. I know physics. I know stresses. I know metals and concrete and crap like that, you know. Do I have a degree in it? No.
Gaslighting. That's great. Hey, we're backed up on phone calls, Mark.
That's good.
So, gaslighting.
Take a look at it. Google gaslighting and ponder it. Don't just go through it quick. Ponder it and see what comes up for you. And look at your own life and see if there's any interactions you've had with the government or the medical industrial complex. If you've had any interactions with them, to whatever degree. And I'm sure that everybody has to some degree, you'll really get it, and it'll kind of shock you, and it'll make you mad. So anyway, I'll let it go. So thanks, guys.
Well, appreciate you, man.
Gaslighting is just not one thing, folks. It's like Delphi technique. It's a principle. It's a basic principle, but it's twisted. It's manipulated. It's in different forms. Gaslighting, it's not just one thing. There are many different forms of it, but there's a basic context to it.
Mm. All right. Well, we've got a special guest. No, he's just a person I want to talk to, Earl in Texas. How you been, man?
Good morning, man. I'm doing good, and hope everybody's doing good. Yeah, my schedule doesn't permit me to listen all the time, but this morning I was able to, and I appreciate your program. With all due respect, Alan, I disagree with your comment. You know, if there's a breath of life in us, that gives us hope. So there is hope, and we can turn this thing around. It's going to take time, but we can do it. And you're a part of doing it. And everything that you folks do down there are a part of doing it. And we just got to keep pushing forward. Again, as long as we have a breath of life, we have the ability to be victorious. Now, I would like to say what Jefferson had said on money. The paper is the ghost of money. Now, y'all talking about bitcoins. There's nothing tangible there. There's nothing. It could vaporize in a heartbeat. You have nothing in your hands. And I think that's going down the wrong road. That's just a little worse than what we have right now with this paper. But I guess that's pretty much what I had to draw a comment to this morning. And, again, I appreciate your programming.
Oh, I appreciate you.
I'll take the criticism. You know, like I said, you know, everyone's solution, everyone's method of trying to achieve fighting what's being brought against us, it's all different. It depends on where you live, how you live, what your circumstances are. there is no one cure-all that's going to save every one of us. It's like it's going to be an individual battle coming up here pretty soon, folks. Things are going to get worse, and you're going to see people turn into things that you would not even have imagined. I've seen them turn into things with this freaking digital world that I never would have imagined.
Zombies.
But, you know, again, Alan, it wasn't criticism. It was just, my thoughts on this.
I understand.
It's all with respect, because we're all in this together, you know. I hate to use their phraseology, but it's a fact. All of us are in this together, and I encourage everybody to go to freedomtexas.org. We're moving forward, and but anyway, gentlemen, I appreciate your programming.
I understand what Earl was talking about, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to express, you know, in our words, you know, the truly how we feel, how we perceive things. our words sometimes just aren't enough.
You know, it was funny, Alan, when Earl was just leaving us, he said, I forget the words, but it was something like stronger together. And I thought about that gaslighting statement that they used back during the COVID. Stronger together. We're stronger together. I'm sitting in my room hiding from COVID. Stronger together. Oh, crap. Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Let's see. I think Paul. Paul in New York. What's going on, man? Good morning.
How you doing? Hey, okay, now I'm here. Took a minute to switch over. Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just loving the different topics that you guys have been talking about. And, one comment I've got on Bitcoin, it seems we just can't get off the cryptocurrency thing. But one comment I've got about Bitcoin is any business that is big enough to consider accepting Bitcoin is also big enough to consider having a Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency desk in their accounting department that is constantly monitoring the price of Bitcoin and has the capacity to exchange to other cryptos, to physical, to FRNs, or to the Russian ruble at any moment. So that 64 grand would only be in Bitcoin for about 8 minutes, and then it would be put somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're right, yeah. I was just trying to present the concept of it. I know it's a large enough corporation. Hell, they've got losses written into their business plans, but, you know, but that's a very large corporation.
Well, that's not necessarily losses. Some of them will be profit, because when you buy that car, and this goes back to that conversation earlier, you buy a car for $64,000 worth of Bitcoin. And then your accountant, the guy at the desk that we were talking about, you know, he goes, okay, look, I got that, right? Is it a good time to sell it? Do I need to sell it? Do I need to buy it? What do I jump into? So then they take the transaction, they take the crypto, and they put it into gold, right? Now it sits in gold, right? Gold's a stable, right? Or the ruble, like you said. But yeah, Governor Greg Abbott, roly-poly out here in Texas, he actually, well, I guess the Senate did, made it so it's legal for banks in Texas to actually hold cryptocurrency keys for customers. So if my bank so chose, it could sit there and I can give them my public key and they'd have it. And I'd say, send me money. Here's my private key. And, you know, I sold that car and it goes over to my bank. Now, my bank does whatever the heck I tell them to do, in theory, with that public key, right? And I got the public key, or maybe they hold it, and I have a contract with my bank. But none of the banks around here are doing that. I went to all the banks in Fredericksburg, and I talked to them about what are their thoughts on crypto. And most of them were just scared, right? It's just kind of like, well, I don't know anything about that. Okay, yeah, you're not. It's funny. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, right, Paul?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that it's going to, because all of the cryptos are going down, and any business worth its salt would have a handle on their finances enough to be able to convert that very quickly, or simply make the business decision to not accept it. But I'm telling you, from being in the used car industry, at least for a small portion of my life. If they're selling a car for $64,000, they probably only have $32,000 in it anyway. So even if Bitcoin went to half the next day, they still break even, but they can show a loss on paper of $32,000, and that comes off their taxes.
Right.
So it's a win-win for them if they know how to manipulate it.
If it's large enough to where you have that financial system I was just basically taking it as a metaphor of the example I gave out.
Well, that's good.
One metaphor I heard this morning was when they come for your guns, give them the lead first. I love that guy.
Great.
And that's been his line since I've been listening to him for 12 years.
Over 10 years, yeah. 12. It's about 12 years. Farron, his commercial really, puts a smile on my face. So, hey, Farron, that's to you, man. Well, thanks for the call, man. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your show like crazy. And just whatever you can do, just counsel people to get off the TV, because that little wavy blue and black line around the mainstream newscasters, that's to lull the viewer into a hypnotic state. And once they watch to the first commercial break, they got them hooked and they know it. So get them off the mainstream TV.
Yeah. Mm. And they called it programming with a purpose. It sounds innocent, but that's the truth.
Well, yeah, okay, very, very quickly, news stands for north, east, west, and south. The anchor is what anchors the thought in the lake. The hook is the story that they get to grab your attention. Hello?
And you can relate that to maritime law, too, with traffic islands and all that good stuff.
Thank you so much, guys.
People are—they're brilliant. What they do—they're very intelligent. And their plans are very in depth and long term, and they've been doing it for a long time.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Jordan Maxwell, rest in peace, man. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to duck out. Let somebody else talk.
Take care. All right. Well, I don't know if we're going to get everybody. Andy in Texas. Sorry, we've got a packed phone today. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, gentlemen, great show this morning, but you know who I'm going to talk about. I need the Orange Man and Trumpy Trump Trump. What a great guy. Talk about a gaslighter. let's throw her in prison. Yeah, Hillary for prison. And then when he gets done with his election, he tells everybody how great they are and how wonderful things they did. And, I'm not doing this. Yeah, that's some gaslighting right there. But what I really want to talk about, remember when Trump got in, everybody was just so broken down that Hillary didn't make it. And we called that Trump derangement syndrome. Okay, cool. Trump derangement syndrome. Well, now that he's been in for 4 years and he gaslighted everybody, and he's still a superhero in the United States, pulling 40,000-50,000 people at everything he does. And now you have the reverse of Trump derangement syndrome, but it's still Trump derangement syndrome. You can't talk anything bad about Trump to anybody who supports this guy. You can't have a conversation with this person. You can't have any reality. Any kind of negative thing you say about Trumpy Trump, Mr. Orange Man, you get gaslighted by the person who you're talking to. And there's several different examples, and I'm not going to go into one, but I was gaslighted this week. So when it comes to people, just don't want to, they don't want to know the facts. They want a hero. And right now, Donald Trump is the hero to all of these Trump fans and stuff. Everybody's saying we've got to have Trump in 2024. Well, look what he did from 2016 to 2020.
And Andy, this brings up the old adage, it's easier to fool a person than it is to convince them that they've been fooled.
Exactly. Well, these guys, nobody is realizing that we got walked into COVID-19 by Trumpy Trump, Mr. Orange Man, our hero. He walked us into this thing, walked us into it, sold us out to FEMA. Come on.
Oh, God, Andy.
Might end up being one of the biggest mass murderers in history, huh?
Absolutely. You got to remember, he made a perfect vaccine. It's like, what?
Yeah, warp speed. Let's get it out to everybody.
You know, when he's a great gaslighter, you're right. You know, he has the ability to say that everything that I did was right. We did everything right. We all promises met. And then people repeat that. And it's kind of like, oh, crap. But in the end, what we can say is he didn't start a war, which is odd, right? Presidents of the United States usually have to kill a bunch of people, right? That's kind of a thing. So he does stand out a little bit in that sense. But, oh, hell no, do I want him in 2024. God. I don't want to.
We haven't been in a war for like 75 years, you know, if you want to actually get technical. But
oh, that's right.
I know where you're going. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, not a declared war. Not a declared war. Well, let's throw this one out there real quick. He didn't take us out of Afghanistan. We needed Biden to ruin that idea. He didn't get us out of Afghanistan, but he certainly didn't. Well, I guess he didn't increase the troops or whatnot. But everything is a gaslight. I mean, the money that they're sending for this Ulinsky guy, holy cow, we sent him $60 billion, and the next day he says, I need $5 billion more a month. Where's the money going? It's being divided when they get there. I mean, the same. If you're putting your confidence into any politician, you're making a big mistake.
Hey, you got to love the Bidens, though, right? They go, give me money, and then they stick it in their pocket. They're even better than the Clintons. You know, the Clinton Foundation.
Great show, gentlemen.
Nothing.
Great show, gentlemen. Okay. Finish up. You got your last 3 minutes or so. Finish up, Chief. You guys have a great one. Great show.
Thanks, Andy.
Let's move on. Kathleen, Texas. You only got a little bit of time. How are you?
Hey, Steve and Alan. I this is the first time I've ever made notes, so I want to go through my bullet points.
Okay,
I wouldn't miss your show or Farron's for anything. But anyway, Farron's ad, my favorite is Jim from New York. Zio neocon cucks. Oh, my gosh. With his voice and the drama. Oh, it's
that dry New York delivery, yeah.
Oh, goodness. I love that. Okay, then, Dave from Nevada. Where have you been? I've missed him calling in to different shows. Okay, then, Bernie May, evidently there's a new book out about the details of how Bernie Madoff ripped everyone off, and I thought especially you guys talking about the crypto and everything, but forensic accounting is one of the most interesting things. Okay, Alan. Okay, Alan.
Do you next. Go ahead.
A friend of mine, when we were young, she had a card for her mother. A Mother's Day wish for you. I wish you weren't my mother. So I thought she'd like that, only put father. And then I thank God because I had wonderful parents. But anyway, and then it's a relief not to hear all this fabulous Father's Day garbage. And then Art from Georgia and Chuck from Crescent, Texas, please give them my phone number because someone I know is trying to raise rabbits.
Okay, let's talk next week about rabbits. Republic of Texas Radio. Love y'all.
Take care, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.